Today's message is change. This is the most important one. Change. This is the most important one. And you know, the only constant, the one constant in life we've talked about is change. The one constant in life is change. And if you can handle change, friend, you can handle life well. But if you can't handle change, you won't be able to handle life. Is that making sense? All right. I encourage each and every single one of you sitting here today to accept the change in your life, because God has got something better for you on your horizon. Something much better is on your horizon. There's a miracle. There's a breakthrough. There's a better thing in your life if you're able to accept change into your life. And you know, friends, when it doesn't make sense to your mind and your mind begins to race, the change in your life doesn't take God by surprise. Let me say it again. When it doesn't make sense to you and your mind begins to race concerning this change in your life, be it a change of job, a change of relationship, a change of housing, a change of transportation, whatever change that might be, does not take God by surprise. I'm here to tell you today that God has got your back. He's got something so much better in store for you than your human mind can imagine and fathom right in the here and now. Is that making sense today? Is that good news? And you know, God has got something good for you because God is a good God. God is a good God. Jesus says in Matthew 7:11, he says, "If you then, though you are evil," in other words, having the sin nature, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven," the sinless one, "give good gifts to those who ask him." How many here agree that God is good? That God is the author of good? God has got a good thing in store for your life. But I'm here to tell you today, learn to embrace change. Don't resist change. Because as you're able to embrace change into your life, this change that God has got for you, something so much better is going to come out of it than you've got right now in your life. Now, the change I want to talk about today is the most important one. The most important change. It is a change of heart. Let me ask you this question today and think about it for a minute. Who has been in control of your life? Who has been in control of your existence your entire life? Now, I've done a lot of street evangelism on the streets of downtown Tulsa, and it's a question I often ask people and say, you know what, are you going to heaven one day? And yes, and how do you know? Because Jesus Christ is my Savior is the common response. Jesus is the Savior. And if you claim to have faith in Christ, that is good. But let me ask you this. Who is in the driver's seat of your life? Look at your life like an automobile. Who is in the driver's seat of your life at this time in your life? Who's got the steering wheel of your life? Is it you or is it God? If you've got the steering wheel of your life right now, guess what? There's someone else that wants the steering wheel of your life. There's somebody else that wants to sit in the driver's seat of your life. Who is that? Anybody have any ideas? Who wants to sit in the driver's seat of your life? Jesus Christ. That was good too. But Jesus Christ should be in the driver's seat of your life. You know, if your mindset is this, Jonathan, this is my life, and I do with my life, my existence, what I want, then you're in the driver's seat of your own life. A lot of people have that mindset, and maybe some of you here today have that mindset. You know what? This is my life. And you stomp your foot, and you're adamant about it. And I do with my life what I want with my own life. Friends, guess what? You've got the steering wheel of your life, if that's your mindset. The Word of God says this, that God resists the proud and the rebellious, those who want to do their own thing, but He gives what to the humble? He gives grace to the humble. Grace, His strength, His empowerment to accept and embrace the change that is coming into your life. And maybe change is about to happen in your life right now. Maybe you can sense it on the inside, and maybe there's some turmoil on the inside of you. And in this time of transition in your life, you're looking, you're searching for peace, true satisfaction, true security. There's only one that can give that. People turn to so many things to try to find peace. They'll turn to other world religions. They'll turn to false world religion teachers. People turn to drugs and to alcohol to try to find some type of satisfaction, the forgetting of their problems. All right, but let me tell you here. If you want to experience true peace and satisfaction in your life, security in your life, then you need a change of heart. And this is the big change I'm talking about today. A change of heart. You need to humble that heart and make Jesus Lord, which is master ruler, the one in full control of every part of your life. Are you seeking for inner peace today? Now, as I drive around Tulsa, I saw the sign one time that said inner peace yoga classes. There's no yoga that is going to give you inner peace, satisfaction, any true eternal security. There's only one that will, and his name is Jesus Christ. And you may claim, you may have told an evangelist or somebody in the past, yes, I'm going to heaven one day because Jesus is my Savior. Because 2 years ago I placed faith in Jesus, or 2 months ago I placed faith in Jesus. It's good. Jesus wants to be your Savior. You know, he wants to save you, your soul, from hell. But he wants to be more than just Savior in your life. Jesus wants to be what in your life? Beyond just Savior. He wants to be what? Lord of your life. I said it just a minute ago. What does Lord mean? Lord means master, controller, the one in full charge of every part of your life. So Jesus wants to be Savior, and say it with me, say Lord. Say it with me. Jesus wants to be Savior and Lord of my life. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 8 if you have a Bible. If not, I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter 8, the faith of the centurion. Matthew 8 verses 5 through 11. And it says this. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed and in terrible suffering. Jesus said to him, I will go and heal him. Verse 7. Verse 8. The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 10. When Jesus heard this, he was astonished and said to those following him, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Verse 13, jump down. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, it will be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that very hour. Now, the centurion understood lordship, right? He understood lordship, right? Because he was a man in command. He said, I myself am a man under authority. So he had a commander possibly over him. And he says that I have soldiers under me who are under my authority, was the thinking of the centurion. He said, I tell this soldier, go, and he goes. I tell this one, come, and he comes. And I tell this one, do it, and he does it. So this centurion understood lordship. He understood authority. He said it in verse 9 of Matthew 8. He says, I myself am a man under authority. He was a man under human authority, but he was also, I believe, a man under spiritual authority. Under the spiritual authority of Jesus Christ with whom he was talking. Is that making sense? Think about it. When the centurion addressed Jesus, he did not address him as teacher. He didn't address him as son of David. How did he address him? He said, Lord. He said, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This centurion addressed Jesus as Lord, ruler, controller, the one in full charge. He understood the lordship of Christ. And I believe he spiritually he was under the authority of Jesus Christ. Is that making sense? Amen. All right. And you know what? Understanding the lordship of Christ and having him as your Lord demonstrates great faith in Christ. Let me say it again. Understanding the lordship of Christ and having Jesus as the Lord over your life demonstrates great faith in Christ. Jesus said it. He said it in verse 10. He said, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Because this centurion understood the lordship of Christ and was submitted to the lordship of Christ. It was a demonstration of his great faith in Christ. And what did his great faith in Christ bring about? In verse 13, it brought about the physical healing of his servant. Friend, I'm here to ask you today, do you need a miracle in your life? The miracle of peace in the midst of turmoil. The miracle of physical healing for your sick body. You know, a financial miracle in your life. Whatever miracle that might be, victory over addiction. Do you need some type of miracle in your life? Like the centurion's servant needed. Then if you need a miracle in your life for peace, victory over addiction, a relationship, physical healing in your body, whatever you need, financial miracle, whatever miracle you need, if you need it in your life, the way you get it is by being submitted to the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's a demonstration of great faith in Christ, by being submitted to his lordship. Is that making sense? You see, if you're submitted to the authority of Christ and he is in charge of your life, you're telling Jesus, you're in full charge. I've got great faith in you, Jesus. You know, I've got relationship with you, Jesus. Jesus, you live in my heart. And if you're telling Jesus Christ this and you got relationship with him, then guess what? He's going to do for you the thing you're needing in your life right now or in the life of your loved one. But it starts with submission to the lordship of Christ. It takes a change of hearts. A change of heart, a change from being in control of your own life, having that pride and rebellion, to having Jesus as Lord and the one in control of every part of your life. Is that making sense today? You know, friend, if you've been in control of your own life, today is the day for a change. To repent, to change your mind, and put Jesus on the throne of your heart. To put Jesus in the driver's seat of your life. Is that good news today? And you may not know how to do it. It may be tough because, you know, it's your life and you might have been thinking in the past and maybe today, man, this is my life. I want to do with my life what I want to do with it. But you know what? When it's tough for you to submit to the lordship of Christ, just cry out to God in prayer and God will give you his grace and his strength to humble yourself and submit on your knees to the lordship of Christ. Is that making sense today? Jesus Christ wants to be in charge, in control of every part of your life. Amen? He wants to be in control of your body. Friends, as you're listening today, you can be in control of what you do with your body, or you can allow Christ to control what you do with your body. What does the world say to do with your body? Okay, but some of the not godly things the world says to do with your body. The world says, you know what, just sleep with anyone who isn't your spouse. It's okay. The world says, drink yourself drunk. Well, if you're in control of your own body, guess what? You're probably going to do some of those things. But if Jesus is in control of what you do with your body, if Jesus is Lord over your body, you'll submit to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. You are the temple of the Almighty God. Your body is the temple of the Almighty God. And when you do what is unholy and sinful with your body, it's like a slap in the face of Jesus. Is that making sense today? So what would Jesus have you do with your body? He would have you sleep and be intimate only with that person who is your spouse. All right? He would have you exercise, eat a healthy diet so you keep your body in shape. Is that making sense today? All right. The next part of your existence, your mind. You can be in control of your mind, or Jesus can be the one in control of what you think with your mind. How does the world say to think with your mind? How does the world say to think? The world says you can play mind games. The world says if somebody offends you, get even, get revenge. Retaliation. Right? Is that making sense? The world says think about you, yourself, me, myself, and I. Right? But if Jesus is Lord over your mind, how would Jesus have you think with your mind?
To love your brother as he loves you.
That's it. Love your brother as he loves you. Forgive your offender and love your enemies, the one who has hurt you. The world says, think about me, myself, and I. Jesus says what? Jesus says, think about others before yourself. See, if Jesus is in control of your mind, you're going to start thinking like Jesus according to the written word of God. Is that making sense today? Your spirit man. You know, we're a three-part being, right? We're spirit, mind, and body. In your spirit being, your spirit man, you can be in control of it, or who can be in control of it? The Lord Jesus Christ can be in control of what you do to your spirit. How many of us here like to know what our future holds? Maybe who you might marry, or where you might live in a year from now, or what kind of work you'll be doing in 2 years from now, right? And a lot of people, when they want to try to find out what their life holds, and I'm not saying that you do this, but you might have done this, and if you are, then you need to stop it. A lot of people will turn to palm readers or fortune tellers or to horoscopes to find out what their future holds. And when you turn to those things, horoscopes, palm readers, fortune tellers, you're opening up your spirit to the devil to wreak havoc in your life. And I heard somebody say one time, a Christian, that you know what? God can speak to us through horoscopes. I do not believe that God can speak to us through horoscopes. There might be some truth in it, but there's a lot of lie too, and that comes from the devil. Guess what? If Jesus is in control of your life, you're not going to turn to horoscopes, you're not going to turn to palm readers, you're not going to turn to fortune tellers, you're going to turn to the Spirit of Almighty God. Is that making sense today? You're going to listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, leading, guiding, and directing you. What does Jesus say about his sheep? John 10. John chapter 10, verse 27. This is what Jesus says about his sheep. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. If you're a sheep of Christ, if you're a follower of Christ, if you've got faith in Christ and Jesus is your Lord, and you want to know about what your future holds, turn to no other thing or no other person except Jesus Christ, except the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit. Is that making sense today? If you turn to God in prayer and see what God's will is for your life, hearing Jesus speak to you, that shows that Jesus is in control of your spirit. Amen? Making sense? He wants to be in control of every part of your life, relationships, your finances, and he even wants to be in control of your words. You can be in control of the words you speak, or Jesus can be in charge of the words that come out of your mouth. You know, if you stub your big toe, what pops out? What pops out of your mouth? Is it a four-letter word? Or God, give me grace. For a lot of people, it's a four-letter word when they stub their big toe, right? And you know, God's last name doesn't have four letters, right? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're a follower of Christ, you're submitted to, you know, you're surrendered to God, God's last name does not have those four letters. You know what I'm talking about, right? Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up. Your words need to be full of God's grace. Your words need to be full of peace. They need to be full of joy and encouragement. They need to be full of the words that are in the Holy Scriptures. If you speak the word from Scripture, you speak clean words, then it shows that Jesus Christ is in charge of your words. Amen? You might be wondering today, well, Jonathan, you know, it's tough to put Jesus in control of every part of my existence, and it is. You know, making Jesus Lord over every part of your life, friend, doesn't happen overnight. Would you agree? Making Jesus Lord over every part of your life takes a process of what? Takes a process of what? Takes a process of time. You know, if you haven't been following Jesus, or maybe you slipped away from Jesus and you recommit your life today to Jesus, it's not like your language is going to be cleaned up overnight. Or what you do with your body is going to be cleaned up overnight. It's going to take some time, but God is going to give you His divine empowerment and grace to clean up your life. Is that making good sense today? He'll give you His strength and His grace, and it takes a process of time. So don't get down on yourself if a few bad words slip out, if you do a few bad things while following Jesus. Don't get down on yourself. God understands, Christ understands, but we are to strive as we walk with Christ day by day, week by week, month by month. We're to strive to be holy as God is holy. Is that making sense today?